Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
Why do bad things happen to good people? And I realize that over the past couple of years, I have preached on the general theme perhaps 3 or 4 times. I'm going to try to approach the subject a little bit differently tonight, but I think I know why the question continues to be asked by various people. And that is because in every one of our lives, we face trials, we face difficulties, we're facing trouble, and we want to know why. What is the answer? A lot of people have already just written it off in their mind to say that God's not fair. God has put me and God has put those I care about in a terrible dilemma. I am faced to either say that God is responsible or I'm responsible. And I never want to take any responsibility for myself. And so people look at God and say, God is not fair. Other people deal with it by saying, I don't know whether it is God's fault or not. All I know is that I do not have the answer. This reminds me of what we read about Job in Job chapter 1 and verse 22. In all this, Job did not sin nor charge God foolishly. Job didn't know all the answers, but Job sought for answers. And he sought for help. And by the time you get to Job 38, God provided many of those answers for him. Tonight, in our study, here's the way I would like for us to approach it. Number one, I'd like to begin with some examples. Number two, I would like to look at some explanations. And then number three, I would like to look at some encouragement. As we begin with the idea of examples, there were two examples that I read about that I thought perhaps were as applicable or common or representative of the idea why do bad things happen to good people as I could find. The first one is a lady who is 35 years of age. She's a school teacher. She has 3 children and a loving husband. She worked hard to be able to get through college, but she finished her master's degree. She was a lady who had appeared that had finally gotten everything going in the right direction. She was such an powerful impact among the teachers because she was so talented at it. She had 3 beautiful little children and her husband. And she goes to the doctor because she's not feeling well, and the doctor says, I have some really bad news to give you. You have a very aggressive form of cancer. And there's not much that we can do, but we're going to try some treatment on you with some chemotherapy and see if we might be able to get ahead of it. In a little less than a year, this lady passed from this life into eternity. She left behind a loving husband, 3 small children, and a classroom of children who just thought she was the best. And the question is asked, why do bad things happen to good people? The second example is a young man. He's about 20 years of age. He's in his second year of college. He is a very studious young man. He has about a 3.8, 3.9 grade point average. He's on the president's list. This young man has been dating this young lady, and his parents made the statement, he is just a good kid. He never disappointed us. He never did those kind of things that the children that you hear about do. He was just a really good kid. On his way home from school, there was an 18-wheeler that crossed over because the driver was falling asleep, hit this young man head-on and killed him instantly. He left behind 2 parents who just loved him dearly, left behind a confused girlfriend, and left behind a legacy of someone whose life had so much potential in front of it. And the question was asked, why do bad things happen to good people? Now, if you will turn with me in your Bible to Job chapter 1, we'll look at verse 1 and verse 8. Job chapter 1, verse 1 and verse 8. And I'd suggest to you, as you start looking at individuals whose life represents the good. I'm not talking about the people who are your roughnecks. I'm not talking about the bad people. I'm talking about the really good folks. This is a really good man. Verse 1 says, there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. And that man was blameless and upright, and one who feared God and shunned evil. Here's a man who it is said to be blameless. Did he make mistakes? I'm sure Job made mistakes. But there was nothing in Job's life that you could say he purposely, willfully did something wrong. In fact, it was his practice to do good and to shun evil. I don't want to have anything to do with it. He wanted to do what was good. If you drop down to verse 8, and there's a conversation that is taking place between God and Satan. And Satan, that great accuser of the brethren, that man or that spirit who is trying to undermine everything that is right. God is saying, let me tell you, I've got a good fellow down there. He says, then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? That there is none like him in the earth or on the earth, a blameless and upright man, and one who fears God and shuns evil. God said there's no one better of the men who walk on the face of the earth than Job. You talk about bad things happening to good people. Job was as good as you get. And yet, in a moment, Job lost his children. I've heard people say, well, it's terrible to give up your parents, and it is. And I've heard people say that it's just terrible to think about giving up your husband or your wife. I don't know that, but I can visualize it. But I cannot imagine any parent hearing the news, not only that one of their children has died, but that they've all died. If anybody could say, why do bad things happen to good people? You could say, why did Job have to see the death of his children? Parents should never have to bury their children. Job saw then the loss of all of his possessions. Job was a wealthy man. He had a lot of cattle. He had a lot of gold. He had flocks. Here's a man who is wealthy, but in a moment, he loses it all. You know, I see a person out and they're working hard in their job and they're trying to get ahead in life. And all of a sudden, through no fault of their own, their job is shipped overseas or something bad happens. And you want to feel so terrible for those people going through that. Here's Job who lost everything. Why do bad things happen to good people? Then Job lost his health. Smitten with boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. Job then lost his family and friends that was left. And you say, what do you mean by that? Chapter 2, Job's wife says, curse God and die. You can't imagine how bad it is to be in a situation like Job and then to have a spouse who looks at you and says, I'm tired of you. You're sick, we're sorry, everything is bad, just curse God and die. And then to have three of your best friends who come to sit with you and mourn with you, who come and mock and belittle you for what seems like days on end. Why do bad things happen to good people? Now, as you explore that idea, I'd like you to turn with me in the Bible to the book of Psalms, to chapter 73. Psalms chapter 73. If I could choose but one passage to discuss with a person, why do bad things happen to good people, this would perhaps be the passage to which I would refer. Not that it's the only one, but one that I think is valuable for us. Beginning reading with verse 1. Truly God is good to Israel, to such as are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet had almost stumbled. My steps had nearly slipped. For I was envious of the boastful when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no pangs in their death, but their strength is firm. They're not in trouble as other men, nor are they plagued like other men. Therefore, pride serves as their necklace. Violence covers them like a garment. Their eyes bulge with abundance. They have more than their heart could wish. They scoff and speak wickedly concerning oppression. They speak loftily. They set their mouth against the heavens and their tongue walks through the earth. Therefore, His people return here as the water of a full cup are drained by them. And they say, how does God know, and is there knowledge in the Most High? Behold, these are ungodly, listen carefully now, who are always at ease. They increase in riches. Now here is the thought that's going to spur you on. Surely I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocence. For all day long I have been plagued and chastened every morning. Before I continue reading, there's good people to whom bad things have happened. There are good people who are out here suffering, while the perception is at least that the wicked people, the bad people, have no difficulties. In fact, verse 7 says their eyes bulge with abundance. They just have all they want and more. Verse 15, if I had said, I will speak thus, behold, I would have been untrue to a generation of your children. When I thought how to understand this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God, and then I understood their latter end. This psalm reflects the point that I'm trying to make. And that is, if you start looking at examples, whether it's the woman who was a school teacher, the young man who was killed in the accident, or whether it is Job, we look and we are confronted, it seems like, at every turn with good people facing bad times. Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 12 and verse 1, says, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. But let me talk with you about your judgments. Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? The questions that arise in the hearts and in the minds of many people. Well, I'm looking for some explanation. I'm looking for God's Word to give me some guidance. Well, here's the first thing that I believe is worthy of our explaining from the Bible. It is incorrectly assumed that all suffering has no value and no benefit. One may learn from suffering even though he does not deserve it. Let me repeat that again. One can learn from suffering even though he does not deserve it. David said in Psalm 119, verse 71, "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." He said, God, it was good for me to have some affliction. Why? So I can learn your statutes. But I've got one even better than that verse. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. In fact, this is one, if you open your Bible, and if you're like I am, this is one of my newer Bibles, so I don't have stuff written in that. A lot of times I'll write in the back part. And you might want to write the word suffering there. And write beside that, righteous people suffer and learn from it. Because Hebrews 5:8 said, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Y'all know who he's talking about? Jesus Christ. Did Jesus deserve any amount of suffering that he endured? Not one whit. And yet the text says that he learned, just like Psalm 119, verse 71, he learned obedience by the things he suffered. It's important for us to understand that bad things do happen to good people. And sometimes they can be good. And a person shakes their head and says, I don't know that I grasp that. Let me point out there's some good in it. The passage that Brother Caleb read to us just a little while ago. 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning with verse 18, going to verse 24. He's talking about servants being submissive to their masters. With all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the harsh. Listen to verse 19. For this is commendable if because of conscience toward God, one endures grief, suffering wrongfully. In other words, I didn't deserve it. Verse 20, for what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults you take it patiently? But when you do good and suffer, hear those words? Do good and suffer, if you take it patiently, this is commendable before God. You say, oh, I'm starting to see a picture now. The good may be for me, as David said in Psalm 119:71, but the good also may be what it says to someone else. Why do the good suffer? Sometimes it's good for me to learn something. But sometimes, because I am good and I do suffer, it teaches someone else something. We sometimes don't grasp that fact. If you go on through verses 21 through 24, you know that Jesus Himself did that. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 27 says, it is a good for a man to bear the yoke of his youth. The second explanation, not only does it provide some learning and some teaching to us and to others, but it also makes us look carefully at our own lives to ask the question, Is it possible that my sin brought this on? Now, I will tell you that not all suffering is a result of my sin. It may be the result of someone else's. But I will tell you that if I am enduring some grief, I will be forced to say, did I do something to bring this on? In Psalm 119, verse 67, David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now I keep your word. Before I was afflicted by God, before I had trouble, I was going down the pathway I wanted to go down. Now God got my attention. If I'm facing some trouble, I may not want to admit it, but it does make me take a hard look at myself. Number three, an explanation is, suffering helps me identify with Jesus and what He went through. You see, I began to understand what He did for me. I began to grasp the sacrifice that He made. Let me tell you something that I learned. When I was a teenager, I thought my parents were not really bright. I imagine I wasn't the only one who thought that. But as I got a little bit older, I wondered how in the world my father was able to pay for everything he paid for and do everything he did on what he made. I learned to appreciate some things after I had gone through what he went through. When I do what is right and I suffer, I just began to partly understand what Jesus went through. Going back to that passage in 1 Peter chapter 2, He left us an example that we should follow in His steps. But it also helps us identify with other people and their sufferings as well. I think about people many times when I go to the funeral home and what kind of difficulties they are going through. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. You see, I go through some difficulty, and God takes care of me. Someone else is going through a difficulty, and I am able to help them. Explanation number four. A mature understanding of Scripture helps me grasp the fact that it is only temporary. In Romans 8 and verse 18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. In 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more and exceeding eternal weight of glory. I understand they're only temporary. Explanation number five. How can I explain that sometimes bad things happen to good people? Is because God gave everyone free will. My third part is encouragement. One of the most important lessons that I can learn for in this answering this question is simply, I can't control what happens to me, but I can control how I feel about it and how I act on it. Several years ago, a book was given to me written by Brother Paul Faulkner. Making things right when things go wrong. And I hate to admit it, but when I'm given a book sometimes, I look at it, I flip through it, and I say, that doesn't look too interesting. I put it on the bookshelf and I walk away. And then I'll be walking through one day and I'll say, you know, I guess I really ought to read that book. They did go to the trouble to get it to me. And Brother Faulkner's book has 10 chapters of things that we can do to try to make life better when things go wrong. And really what I did, I planned this lesson, and I realized I don't have time to do it. Of all those 10 things, and then just a scripture that really hits me. I want to go through them, and I'm just going to mention the scriptures real quickly. Chapter 1 is, choose a positive disposition. How I think will reflect how I act. Proverbs 23:7. For as a man thinks within himself, so is he. Chapter number 2, will to, whether you want to or not. Will to. Make your determination to do right, whether you want to or not. Philippians 4, verse 11, Paul says, not that I speak with regards to need, but I have learned in whatever state I am, therein to be content. Chapter 3 is, act better than you feel. Act better than you feel. Someone walks in the door and they say, how are you? My life is awful. Everything's going wrong. A lot of times, if you simply decided, I'm going to act better than the things that I am facing in this life, and I got to move on. Number 4, use your compass when you're off course. Use your compass. Psalm 119, verse 105, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. Chapter 5, don't kill today with yesterday. Some people are living in the difficulties of the past and refuse to go on. Paul would put it like this in Philippians 3 and verse 14. Forgetting those things which are behind, pressing forward to those things which are before, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Number 6, cut your line when it is tangled. When I was about 16 years old, my cousin and I, with whom I grew up, he's almost like a brother, decided we were going to buy these open face reels. Some of you may not know what I'm talking about. But the guy that sold it to us told us, he says, if you're not careful when you do this, the inside of that reel is going to go, and line will be everywhere. I bought some spool of new line, put it on there, and I went, anyway. You might say, why don't you just pull that line out? You know, you just put a new spool. You want to know the right thing to do is just take a knife and cut it off and go on. You'll never get those tangles out. Sometimes in life, it's important just to cut off the tangles of life. Listen to Genesis 41 and verse 51. When Joseph was naming his two grandsons, Manasseh and Ephraim, listen to verse 51. Joseph called the name of the firstborn Manasseh. For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house. I got to cut off that hatred. All these things that happened to the brothers. With the brothers. They thought he was going to carry a grudge with him. He was able to cut it off. Number seven. Keep cool when you're hot. Number 8, make relationships right. Matthew 5:23-24, if you've got a gift and you're standing there before the altar, you remember your brother has aught against you, what do? You leave your gift there. You go be reconciled with your brother, then coming off you. Make relationship. Number 9, go first anyway. Sometimes we want to wait the other person out and say, I'm going to make them apologize to me. And then when they apologize to me, I'll go first anyway. Number 10, live young even when you're old. You see, the truth is that challenges in life can make us bitter or they can make us better. And I can choose to be either bitter or better. Why do bad things happen to good people? I don't know. God made this world the way He did, and I am in no position to question God as to why He did what He did. But I do know there are some good things to be learned from good people who suffer bad things in this life. What I know is that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ suffered those things. And He, if He can suffer them, so can we. And we ought to do so with the same graciousness that our Lord showed Himself.